ability to simplify his work. Eventually, Linde proposed a new version of inflation that seemed to eliminate some of the defects of the early versions. He envisioned a universe in which, at random points in space and time, spontaneous breaking occurs. At each point where breaking occurs, a universe is created which inflates a little. Most of the time, the amount of inflation is minor. But because this process is random, eventually there will be a bubble where the inflation lasts long enough to create our universe. Taken to its logical conclusion, this means that inflation is continuous and eternal, with big bangs happening all the time, with universes sprouting from other universes. In this picture, universes can bud off into other universes, creating a multiverse. In this theory, spontaneous breaking may occur anywhere within our universe, allowing an entire universe to bud off our universe. It also means that our own universe might have budded from a previous universe. In the chaotic inflationary model, the multiverse is eternal, even if individual universes are not. Some universes may have a very large omega, in which case they immediately vanish into a big crunch after their big bang. Some universes only have a tiny omega and expand forever. Eventually, the multiverse becomes dominated by those universes that inflate by a huge amount. In retrospect, the idea of parallel universes is forced upon us. Inflation represents the merger of traditional cosmology with advances in particle physics. Being a quantum theory, particle physics states that there is a finite probability for unlikely events to occur, such as the creation of parallel universes. Thus, as soon as we admit the possibility of one universe being created, we open the door to the probability of an endless number of parallel universes being created. Think, for example, of how the electron is described in the quantum theory. Because of uncertainty, the electron does not exist at any single point, but exists in all possible points around the nucleus. This electron cloud surrounding the nucleus represents the electron being many places at the same time. This is the fundamental basis of all of chemistry, which allows electrons to bind molecules together. The reason why our molecules do not dissolve is that parallel electrons dance around them and hold them together. Likewise, the universe was once smaller than an electron. When we apply the quantum theory to the universe, we are then forced to admit the possibility that the universe exists simultaneously in many states. In other words, once we open the door to applying quantum fluctuations to the universe, we are almost forced to admit the possibility of parallel universes. It seems we have little choice. The universe from nothing. At first, one might object to the notion of a multiverse because it seems to violate known laws, such as the conservation of matter and energy. However, the total matter-energy content of a universe may actually be very small. The matter content of the universe, including all the stars, planets, and galaxies, is huge and positive. However, the energy stored within gravity may be negative. If you add the positive energy due to matter to the negative energy due to gravity, the sum may be close to zero. In some sense, such universes are free. They can spring out of the vacuum almost effortlessly. If the universe is closed, then the total energy content of the universe must be precisely zero. To grasp this, think of a donkey that falls into a large hole in the ground. We have to add energy to the donkey in order to pull him out of the hole. Once he is out and he is standing on the ground, he is considered to have zero energy. Thus, because we had to add energy to the donkey to get him to a state of zero energy, he must have had negative energy while in the hole. Similarly, it takes energy to pull a planet out of a solar system. Once it is out in free space, the planet has zero energy. Since we have to add energy to extract a planet out of a solar system to attain a state of zero energy, the planet has negative gravitational energy while inside the solar system. In fact, to create a universe like ours may require a ridiculously small net amount of matter, perhaps as little as an ounce. As Guth likes to say, the universe may be a free lunch. This idea of creating a universe from nothing was first introduced by physicist Edward Tryon of Hunter College of the City University of New York in a paper published in Nature magazine in 1973. He speculated that the universe is something which happens from time to time due to a quantum fluctuation in the vacuum. Although the net amount of matter necessary to create a universe may be close to zero, this matter must be compressed to incredible densities, as we see in Chapter 12. Like the Panku mythologies, this is an example of creatio ex nihilo cosmology. Although the universe from nothing theory cannot be proved with conventional means, it does help to answer very practical questions about the universe. For example, why doesn't the universe spin? Everything we see around us spins, from tops, hurricanes, planets and galaxies, to quasars. It seems to be a universal characteristic of matter in the universe. But the universe itself does not spin. When we look at the galaxies in the heavens, their total spin cancels out to zero. This is quite fortunate, because as we see in Chapter 5, if the universe did spin, then time travel would become commonplace and history would be impossible to write. The reason why the universe does not spin may be that our universe came from nothing. Since the vacuum does not spin, we do not expect to see any net spin arising in our universe. In fact, all the bubble universes within the multiverse may have zero net spin. Why do positive and negative electrical charges balance out exactly? Normally, when we think of the cosmic forces governing the universe, we think more about gravity than the electromagnetic force, even though the gravitational force is infinitesimally small compared to the electromagnetic force. The reason for this is the perfect balance between positive and negative charges. As a result, the net charge of the universe appears to be zero, and gravity dominates the universe, not the electromagnetic force. Although we take this for granted, the cancellation of positive and negative charges is quite remarkable and has been experimentally checked to 1 part in 10 to the 21st power. Of course, there are local imbalances between the charges, and that's why we have lightning bolts, but the total number of charges, even for thunderstorms, adds up to zero. If there were just 0.00001% difference in the net positive and negative electrical charges within your body, you would be ripped to shreds instantly, with your body parts thrown into outer space by the electrical force. The answer to these enduring puzzles may be that the universe came from nothing. Since the vacuum has net zero spin and charge, any baby universe springing forth from nothing must also have net zero spin and charge. There is one apparent exception to this rule. That exception is that the universe is made of matter rather than antimatter. Since matter and antimatter are opposites, with antimatter having exactly the opposite charge from matter, we might assume that the Big Bang must have created equal amounts of matter and antimatter. The problem, however, is that matter and antimatter will annihilate each other on contact into a burst of gamma rays. Thus, we should not exist. The universe should be a random collection of gamma rays, instead of teeming with ordinary matter. If the Big Bang were perfectly symmetrical, or if it came from nothing, then we should expect equal amounts of matter and antimatter to be formed. So why do we exist? The solution proposed by Russian physicist Andrei Sakharov is that the original Big Bang was not perfectly symmetrical at all. There was a tiny amount of symmetry breaking between matter and antimatter at the instant of creation, so that matter dominated over antimatter, which made possible the universe we see around us. The symmetry that was broken at the Big Bang is called CP symmetry, the symmetry that reverses charges and the parity of matter and antimatter particles. If the universe came from nothing, then perhaps nothing was not perfectly empty, but had a slight amount of symmetry breaking, which allows for the slight dominance of matter over antimatter today. The origin of this symmetry breaking is still not understood. What might other universes look like? The multiverse idea is appealing, because all we have to do is assume that spontaneous breaking occurs randomly. No other assumptions have to be made. Each time a universe sprouts off another universe, the physical constants differ from the original, creating new laws of physics. If this is true, then an entirely new reality can emerge within each universe. But this raises the intriguing question, what do these other universes look like? The key to understanding the physics of parallel universes is to understand how universes are created, that is, to understand precisely how spontaneous breaking occurs. When a universe is born and spontaneous breaking takes place, this also breaks the symmetry of the original theory. To a physicist, beauty means symmetry and simplicity. If a theory is beautiful, this means it has a powerful symmetry that can explain a large body of data in the most compact, economical manner. More precisely, an equation is considered to be beautiful if it remains the same when we interchange its components among themselves. One great advantage to finding the hidden symmetries of nature is that we can show that phenomena that are seemingly distinct are actually manifestations of the same thing, linked together by a symmetry. For example, we can show that electricity and magnetism are actually two aspects of the same object, because there is a symmetry that can interchange them within Maxwell's equations. Similarly, Einstein showed that relativity can turn space into time, and vice versa, because they are part of the same object, the fabric of space-time. Think of a snowflake, which has a beautiful six-fold symmetry, a source of endless fascination. The essence of its beauty is that it remains the same if we rotate the snowflake by 60 degrees. This also means that any equation we write down to describe the snowflake should reflect this fact, that it remains invariant under rotations of multiples of 60 degrees. Mathematically, we say that the snowflake has C(6) symmetry. Symmetries then encode the hidden beauty of nature. But in reality, today these symmetries are horribly broken. The four great forces of the universe do not resemble each other at all. In fact, the universe is full of irregularities and defects. Surrounding us are the fragments and shards of the original, primordial symmetry, shattered by the Big Bang. Thus, the key to understanding possible parallel universes is to understand symmetry breaking, that is, how these symmetries might have broken after the Big Bang. As physicist David Grosse has said, "The secret of nature is symmetry, but much of the texture of the world is due to mechanisms of symmetry breaking." Think of the way a beautiful mirror shatters into a thousand pieces. The original mirror possessed great symmetry. You can rotate a mirror at any angle, and it still reflects light in the same way. But after it is shattered, the original symmetry is broken. Determining precisely how the symmetry is broken determines how the mirror shatters. Symmetry breaking. To see this, think of the development of an embryo. In its early stages, a few days after conception, an embryo consists of a perfect sphere of cells. Each cell is no different from the others. It looks the same, no matter how we rotate it. Physicists say that the embryo at this stage has O3 symmetry. That is, it remains the same, no matter how you rotate it on any axis. Although the embryo is beautiful and elegant, it is also rather useless. Being a perfect sphere, it cannot perform any useful functions or interact with the environment. In time, however, the embryo breaks this symmetry, developing a tiny head and torso, so it resembles a bowling pin. Although the original spherical symmetry is now broken, the embryo still has a residual symmetry. It remains the same if we spin it along its axis. Thus, it has cylindrical symmetry. Mathematically, we say that the original O3 of the sphere has now been broken down to the O2 symmetry of the cylinder. The breaking of O3 symmetry, however, could have proceeded in a different way. Starfish, for example, do not have cylindrical or bilateral symmetry. Instead, when the spherical symmetry is broken, they have a C5 symmetry, which remains the same under rotations by 72 degrees, giving it its five-pointed star shape. Thus, the way in which the symmetry O3 breaks determines the shape of the organism when it is born. Similarly, scientists believe the universe started out in a state of perfect symmetry, with all the forces unified into a single force. The universe was beautiful, symmetrical, but rather useless. Life as we know it could not exist in this perfect state. In order for the possibility of life to exist, the symmetry of the universe had to break as it cooled. Symmetry and the Standard Model. In the same way, to understand what parallel universes might look like, we must first understand the symmetries of the strong, weak, and electromagnetic interactions. The strong force, for example, is based on three quarks, which scientists label by giving them a fictitious color, for example, red, white, and blue. We want the equations to remain the same if we interchange these three colored quarks. We say that the equations have SU3 symmetry. That is, when we reshuffle the three quarks, the equations remain the same. Scientists believe that a theory with SU3 symmetry forms the most accurate description of the strong interactions, called quantum chromodynamics. If we had a gigantic supercomputer, starting with just the masses of the quarks and the strength of their interactions, we could, in theory, calculate all the properties of the proton and neutron and all the characteristics of nuclear physics. Similarly, let's say we have two leptons, the electron and the neutrino. If we interchange them in an equation, we have SU2 symmetry. We can also throw in light, which has the symmetry group U1. This symmetry group shuffles the various components or polarizations of light among each other. Thus, the symmetry group of the weak and electromagnetic interactions is SU2 times U1. If we simply glue these three theories together, not surprisingly, we have the symmetry SU3 times SU2 times U1. In other words, the symmetry that separately mixes three quarks among themselves and two leptons among themselves, but does not mix quarks with leptons. The resulting theory is the Standard Model, which, as we saw earlier, is perhaps one of the most successful theories of all time. As Gordon Kane of the University of Michigan says, "Everything that happens in our world, except for the effects of gravity, results from Standard Model particle interactions. Some of its predictions have been tested in the laboratory to hold within one part in 100 million. In fact, 20 Nobel Prizes have been awarded to physicists who have pieced together parts of the Standard Model. Finally, one might construct a theory that combines the strong, weak, and electromagnetic interaction into a single symmetry. The simplest gut theory that can do this interchanges all five particles, three quarks and two leptons, into each other simultaneously. Unlike the standard model symmetry, the gut symmetry can mix quarks and leptons together, which means that protons can decay into electrons. In other words, gut theories contain SU5 symmetry, reshuffling all five particles, three quarks and two leptons, among themselves. Over the years, many other symmetry groups have been analyzed, but SU5 is perhaps the minimal group that fits the data. When spontaneous breaking occurs, the original gut symmetry can break in several ways. In one way, the gut symmetry breaks down to SU3 times SU2 times U1, with precisely 19 free parameters that we need to describe our universe. This gives us the known universe. However, there are actually many ways in which to break gut symmetry. Other universes would most likely have a completely different residual symmetry. At the very minimum, these parallel universes might have different values of these 19 parameters. In other words, the strengths of the various forces would be different in different universes, leading to vast changes in the structure of the universe. By weakening the strength of the nuclear force, for example, one might prevent the formation of stars, leaving the universe in perpetual darkness, making life impossible. If the nuclear force is strengthened too much, stars could burn their nuclear fuel so fast that life would not have enough time to form. The symmetry group may also be changed, creating an entirely different universe of particles. In some of these universes, the proton might not be stable and would rapidly decay into anti-electrons. Such universes cannot have life as we know it, but would rapidly disintegrate into a lifeless mist of electrons and neutrinos. Other universes could break the gut symmetry in yet another way, so there would be more stable particles, like protons. In such a universe, a huge variety of strange new chemical elements could exist. Life in those universes could be more complex than our own, with more chemical elements out of which to create DNA-like chemicals. We can also break the original gut symmetry so that we have more than one U1 symmetry, so there is more than one form of light. This would be a strange universe, indeed, in which beings might see using not just one kind of force, but several. In such a universe, the eyes of any living being could have a large variety of receptors to detect various forms of light-like radiation. Not surprisingly, there are hundreds, perhaps even an infinite number of ways to break these symmetries. Each of these solutions, in turn, might correspond to an entirely separate universe. Testable predictions. Unfortunately, the possibility of testing the multiverse theory, involving multiple universes with different sets of physical laws, is at present impossible. One would have to travel faster than light to reach these other universes. But one advantage of the inflation theory is that it makes predictions about the nature of our universe that are testable. Since the inflationary theory is a quantum theory, it is based on the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, the cornerstone of the quantum theory. The uncertainty principle states that you cannot make measurements with infinite accuracy, such as measuring the velocity and position of an electron. No matter how sensitive your instruments are, there will always be uncertainty in your measurements. If you know an electron's velocity, you cannot know its precise location. If you know its location, you cannot know its velocity. Applied to the original fireball that set off the Big Bang, it means that the original cosmic explosion could not have been infinitely smooth. If it had been perfectly uniform, then we would know precisely the trajectories of the subatomic particles emanating from the Big Bang, which violates the uncertainty principle. The quantum theory allows us to compute the size of these ripples or fluctuations in the original fireball. If we then inflate these tiny quantum ripples, we can calculate the minimum number of ripples we should see on the microwave background 380,000 years after the Big Bang. And if we expand these ripples to the present day, we should find the current distribution of galactic clusters. Our galaxy itself started out in one of these tiny fluctuations. Initially, a superficial glance at the data from the COBE satellite found no deviations or fluctuations in the microwave background. This caused some anxiety among physicists, because a perfectly smooth microwave background would violate not just inflation, but the entire quantum theory as well, violating the uncertainty principle. It would shake physics to its very core. The entire foundation of 20th century quantum physics might have to be thrown out. Much to scientists' relief, a painstakingly detailed look at the computer-enhanced data from the COBE satellite found a blurry set of ripples, variations in temperature of one part in 100,000, the minimum amount of deviation tolerated by the quantum theory. These infinitesimal ripples were consistent with the inflationary theory. Guth confessed, "I'm completely snowed by the cosmic background radiation. The signal was so weak it wasn't even detected until 1965, and now they're measuring fluctuations of one part in 100,000. Although the experimental evidence being gathered was slowly favoring inflation, scientists still had to resolve the nagging problem of the value of omega, the fact that omega was 0.3 rather than 1.0. Supernovae, return of lambda. While inflation turned out to be consistent with the COBE data scientists gathered, astronomers still grumbled in the 1990s that inflation was in flagrant violation of the experimental data on omega. The tide first began to turn in 1998 as a result of data from a totally unexpected direction. Astronomers tried to recalculate the rate of expansion of the universe in the distant past. Instead of analyzing Cepheid variables, as Hubble did in the 1920s, they begin to examine supernovae in distant galaxies billions of light-years into the past. In particular, they examined type 1a supernovae, which are ideally suited for being used as standard candles. Astronomers know that supernovae of this type have nearly the same brightness. The brightness of type 1a supernovae is known so well that even small deviations can be calibrated. The brighter the supernova, the slower it declines in brightness. Such supernovae are caused when a white dwarf star in a binary system slowly sucks matter from its companion star. By feeding off its sister star, this white dwarf gradually grows in mass until it weighs 1.4 solar masses, the maximum possible for a white dwarf. When they exceed this limit, they collapse and explode in a type 1a supernova. This trigger point is why type 1a supernovae are so uniform in brightness. It is the natural result of white dwarf stars reaching a precise mass and then collapsing under gravity. As Subramanian Chandrasekhar showed in 1935, in a white dwarf star, the force of gravity crushing the star is balanced by a repulsive force between the electrons, called electron degeneracy pressure. If a white dwarf star weighs more than 1.4 solar masses, then gravity overcomes this force and the star is crushed, creating the supernova. Since distant supernovae took place in the early universe, by analyzing them one can calculate the rate of expansion of the universe billions of years ago. Two independent groups of astronomers, led by Saul Perlmutter of the Supernova Cosmology Project and Brian P. Schmidt of the Hi-Z Supernova Search Team, expected to find that the universe, although still expanding, was gradually slowing down. For several generations of astronomers, this was an article of faith, taught in every cosmology class that the original expansion was gradually decelerating. After analyzing about a dozen supernovae each, they found that the early universe was not expanding as fast as previously thought. That is, the red shifts of the supernovae, and hence their velocity, were smaller than originally suspected. When comparing the expansion rate of the early universe to today's expansion, they concluded that the expansion rate was relatively greater today. Much to their shock, these two groups came to the astounding conclusion that the universe is accelerating. Much to their dismay, they found that it was impossible to fit the data with any value of omega. The only way to make the data fit the theory was to reintroduce lambda, the energy of the vacuum, first introduced by Einstein. Moreover, they found that omega was overwhelmed by an unusually large lambda that was causing the universe to accelerate in a de Sitter-type expansion. The two groups independently came to this startling realization, but were hesitant to publish their findings because of the strong historical prejudice that the value of lambda was zero. As George Jacobi of the Kitts Peak Observatory has said, "The lambda thing has always been a wild-eyed concept, and anybody crazy enough to say it's not zero was treated as kind of nuts." Schmidt recalls, "I was still shaking my head, but we had checked everything. I was very reluctant about telling people because I truly thought that we were going to get massacred." However, when both groups released their results in 1998, the sheer mountain of data they amassed could not be easily dismissed. Lambda, Einstein's biggest blunder, which had been almost completely forgotten in modern cosmology, was now staging a remarkable comeback after 90 years of obscurity. Physicists were dumbfounded. Edward Witten of the Institute for Advanced Study at Princeton said it was the strangest experimental finding since I've been in physics. When the value of omega, 0.3, was added to the value of lambda, 0.7, the sum was, to within experimental error, equal to 1.0, the prediction of the inflationary theory. Like a jigsaw puzzle being assembled before our eyes, cosmologists were seeing the missing piece of inflation. It came from the vacuum itself. This result was spectacularly reconfirmed by the WMAP satellite, which showed that the energy associated with lambda, or dark energy, makes up 73% of all matter and energy in the universe, making it the dominant piece of the jigsaw puzzle. Phases of the Universe. Perhaps the greatest contribution of the WMAP satellite is that it gives scientists confidence that they are headed toward a standard model of cosmology. Although huge gaps still exist, astrophysicists are beginning to see outlines of a standard theory emerging from the data. According to the picture we are putting together now, the evolution of the universe proceeded in distinct stages as it cooled. The transition from these stages represents the breaking of a symmetry and the splitting off of a force of nature. Here are the phases and milestones as we know them today. 1. Before 10 to the negative 43rd power seconds. Planck era. Almost nothing is certain about the Planck era. At the Planck energy, 10 to the 19th power billion electron volts, the gravitational force was as strong as the other quantum forces. As a consequence, the four forces of the universe were probably unified into a single superforce. Perhaps the universe existed in a perfect phase of nothingness or empty, higher-dimensional space. The mysterious symmetry that mixes all four forces, leaving the equations the same, is most likely supersymmetry. For a discussion of supersymmetry, see Chapter 7. For reasons unknown, this mysterious symmetry that unified all four forces was broken, and a tiny bubble formed, our embryonic universe, perhaps as the result of a random quantum fluctuation. This bubble was the size of the Planck length, which is 10 to the negative 33rd power centimeters. 2. 10 to the negative 43 power seconds. Gut era. Symmetry breaking occurred, creating a rapidly expanding bubble. As the bubble inflated, the four fundamental forces rapidly split off from each other. Gravity was the first force to be split off from the other three, releasing a shock wave throughout the universe. The original symmetry of the superforce was broken down to a smaller symmetry, perhaps containing the gut symmetry, SU5. The remaining strong, weak, and electromagnetic interactions were still unified by this gut symmetry. The universe inflated by an enormous factor, perhaps 10 to the 50th power, during this phase, for reasons that are not understood, causing space to expand astronomically faster than the speed of light. The temperature was 10 to the 32nd power degrees. 3. 10 to the negative 34th power seconds. End of inflation. The temperature dropped to 10 to the 27th power degrees as the strong force split off from the other two forces. The gut symmetry group broke down into SU3 times SU2 times U1. The inflationary period ended, allowing the universe to coast in a standard Friedmann expansion. The universe consisted of a hot plasma soup of free quarks, gluons, and leptons. Free quarks condensed into the protons and neutrons of today. Our universe was still quite small, only the size of the present solar system. Matter and antimatter were annihilated, but the tiny excess of matter over antimatter, one part in a billion, left behind the matter we see around us today. This is the energy range that we hope will be duplicated in the next few years by the particle accelerator, the Large Hadron Collider. 4. 3 minutes. Nuclei form. Temperatures dropped sufficiently for nuclei to form without being ripped apart from the intense heat. Hydrogen fused into helium, creating the current 75% hydrogen, 25% helium ratio found today. Trace amounts of lithium were formed, but the fusion of higher elements stopped because nuclei with 5 particles were too unstable. The universe was opaque, with light being scattered by free electrons. This marks the end of the primeval fireball. 5. 380,000 years. Atoms are born. The temperature dropped to 3,000 degrees Kelvin. Atoms formed as electrons settled around nuclei without being ripped apart by the heat. Photons could now travel freely without being absorbed. This is the radiation measured by COBE and WMAP. The universe, once opaque and filled with plasma, now became transparent. The sky, instead of being white, now became black. 6. 1 billion years. Stars condense. The temperature dropped to 18 degrees. Quasars, galaxies, and galactic clusters began to condense, largely as a byproduct of tiny quantum ripples in the original fireball. Stars began to cook the light elements, like carbon, oxygen, and nitrogen. Exploding stars spewed elements beyond iron into the heavens. This is the farthest era that can be probed by the Hubble Space Telescope. 7. 6.5 billion years. De Sitter expansion. The Friedmann expansion gradually ended, and the universe began to accelerate and enter an accelerating phase, called the De Sitter expansion, driven by a mysterious anti-gravity force that is still not understood. 8. 13.7 billion years. Today. The present. The temperature has dropped to 2.7 degrees. We see the present universe of galaxies, stars, and planets. The universe is continuing to accelerate in a runaway mode. the future. Although inflation is the theory today that has the power to explain such a wide range of mysteries about the universe, this does not prove that it is correct. In addition, rival theories have recently been proposed, as we see in Chapter 7. The supernova result has to be checked and rechecked, taking into account factors such as dust and anomalies in the production of supernovae. The smoking gun that would finally verify or disprove the inflationary scenario are gravity waves that were produced at the instant of the Big Bang. These gravity waves, like the microwave background, should still be reverberating throughout the universe and may actually be found by gravity wave detectors, as we see in Chapter 9. Inflation makes specific predictions about the nature of these gravity waves, and these gravity wave detectors should find them. But one of the most intriguing predictions of inflation cannot be directly tested, and that is the existence of baby universes existing in a multiverse of universes, each one obeying a slightly different set of physical laws. To understand the full implications of the multiverse, it is important to first understand that inflation takes full advantage of the bizarre consequences of both Einstein's equations and the quantum theory. In Einstein's theory, we have the possible existence of multiple universes, and in the quantum theory, we have the possible means of tunneling between them. And within a new framework called M-theory, we may have the final theory that can settle these questions about parallel universes and time travel, once and for all. Part 2. The Multiverse. Chapter 5. Dimensional Portals and Time Travel. Inside every black hole that collapses may lie the seeds of a new, expanding universe. Sir Martin Rees. Black holes may be apertures to elsewhen. Were we to plunge down a black hole, we would reemerge, it is conjectured, in a different part of the universe and in another epoch in time. Black holes may be entrances to wonderlands, but are there Alices or White Rabbits? Carl Sagan. General relativity is like a Trojan horse. On the surface, the theory is magnificent. With a few simple assumptions, one can obtain the general features of the cosmos, including the bending of starlight and the Big Bang itself, all of which have been measured to astonishing accuracy. Even inflation can be accommodated if we insert a cosmological constant by hand into the early universe. These solutions give us the most compelling theory of the birth and death of the universe. But lurking inside the horse, we find all sorts of demons and goblins, including black holes, white holes, wormholes, and even time machines, which defy common sense. These anomalies were considered so bizarre that even Einstein himself thought that they would never be found in nature. For years, he fought strenuously against these strange solutions. Today, we know that these anomalies cannot be easily dismissed. They are an integral part of general relativity. And in fact, they may even provide a salvation to any intelligent being confronting the Big Freeze. But perhaps the strangest of these anomalies is the possibility of parallel universes and gateways connecting them. If we recall the metaphor introduced by Shakespeare that all the world is a stage, then general relativity admits the possibility of trap doors. But instead of leading to the basement, we find that the trap doors lead to parallel stages like the original. Imagine the stage of life consisting of multi-story stages, one on top of the next. On each stage, the actors read their lines and wander around the set, thinking that their stage is the only one, oblivious of the possibilities of alternate realities. However, if one day they accidentally fall into a trap door, they find themselves thrust into an entirely new stage, with new laws, new rules, and a new script. But if an infinite number of universes can exist, then is life possible in any of these universes with different physical laws? It is a question that Isaac Asimov posed in his classic science fiction tale, The Gods Themselves, where he created a parallel universe with a nuclear force different from our own. New intriguing possibilities arise when the usual laws of physics are repealed and new ones are introduced. The story begins in the year 2000.